Scripture today is the same as last week. It comes from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. That's found on pages 1147 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to turn there. While you're finding your spot, let me pray for the reading of the word. Father God, again, we thank you so much for the word of God that you've given to us. We thank you that we can rely on it as absolute truth. Thank you for preserving it in the way that you saw fit. And Lord, we ask that you would bless our reading today, help it to be instilled in our hearts and our minds, and help us to obey the words of your scripture. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So John 15, 1 through 10. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So today we're going to talk about fruit-bearing branches, about what it means to bear fruit. But let's just do a little bit of review from last week. So if you weren't here last week, let's go ahead and do a little bit of review. So we talked about this idea of abiding in Christ and abiding into the vine. Well, abide means to remain or to continue or to stay. So when Jesus said, abide in me, you could read that as remain in me, continue in me, or stay in me, and I will do these things in you. Also, we realize, I don't have it on here, but we understood that Jesus is the true vine, the genuine article. He took place of Israel, who was intended to be the true vine, but they failed and God knew that they would. So Jesus is the true vine. Last week, I also read a portion of Hudson Taylor's sermon talking about abiding, and he had this struggle thinking that abiding was constantly feasting at the table of Jesus Christ. But he realized there's no way that I can do that because we have to live and we have to work and we have to do those things. He said it's not so much feasting as it is being one with God. Now, the feasting is a voluntary act, but that voluntary act is very essential in abiding in Christ, because the voluntary acts of feasting at the table would be prayer time, reading your Bible, being involved in small group Bible study, studying Revelations, getting together with others, studying God's word. Worship, singing hymns and praise songs, attending worship, praising God in that way. So those are all voluntary acts that are essential for abiding, but because you can't do that all the time, it's nice to know that you just rest in the fact that in your everyday living, whether consciously or unconsciously thinking about him, knowing that God is with you. Amen? So that's this idea of abiding, and it's going to help us a lot in what we're going to be talking about today. So last week I read a portion of Hudson Taylor's sermon that dealt with abiding. I'm going to read another small portion of that same sermon dealing with bearing fruit. And here's what he said. Well, first of all, I need to make a correction because words are important. Last week I told you that he was a Chinese missionary. Hudson Taylor's not a Chinaman. So he is not a Chinese missionary. He's from England. He's an English missionary who was a missionary to China. See, words are important, so I wanted to make that clarification. Although some of the pictures you see of him, he does look like a Chinaman, but that's because he's living in China. Okay. All right. So here are the words of Hudson Taylor on bearing fruit. The Lord Jesus says, I am the true vine. Why, that is the root and the rootlets and the stem and the trunk and the vine and the branches and the leaves and the flowers and the fruit. It's all one vine, and there is nothing outside of it. And if you want fruit bearing, there is no fruit bearing outside of the living Christ. You can do nothing of yourself. You can bear no fruit of yourself. If you attempt to sever yourself from the vine and think you will strike out a root for yourself, you will be disappointed. You know, young vines don't bear fruit, and the object isn't to fill the vineyard with new roots. It is all one vine. If you were to cut off one of the branches, you wouldn't find it would be very fruitful like the original vine. It would require years of growth and development to reach that stage. And we are not intended for growth and development separate from Jesus, but just as members of the true vine to enjoy our all in him. Great words from a great man. So today we're going to go ahead and talk about fruit. And you'll see a progression in this passage. Jesus talks about bearing fruit, then he'll talk about bearing more fruit, then he's going to talk about bearing much fruit. So we're going to see this progression and what that looks like. But before we get there, there's a couple of verses that we need to tackle and kind of get out of the way so that we understand what this passage is talking about. Because chapter 15, 1 through 10, these are verses about bearing fruit. But people take this part of scripture and they interpret it incorrectly, thinking that you can lose your salvation. And so really, the scripture has nothing to do with your salvation and how you lose your salvation or how you keep your salvation. It's all about bearing fruit. But we do need to take a look at these two verses, and it's really verse 2 and verse 6 that we're talking about. So let's go ahead and look at verse 2. And this is the first part of verse 2, and it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He being God. And people will read this and think, okay, see, you can lose your salvation. But we've got to understand what's going on here. So Jesus, first of all, he uses the words, every branch in me. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you are a saved, born-again believer. You are. Because if you are in Christ, you are a believer. And so first of all, he uses those words. And then he says, so as a believer, if a believer does not bear fruit, he takes away. Takes away is an interesting phrase. I noticed in my Bible I had a footnote. And it says that takes away can also be translated as lifts up. So I thought, okay, well, what does this mean? What does it mean to be lift up? It sounds totally different from take away. And so I was reading the Moody Bible Commentary, and one of the writers in the Moody Bible Commentary, Michael Rydelnik, I think is how you'd say his name, he said there's an interesting thing that happens in Jerusalem in the springtime in Israel, and when they go out to the vineyard, they see these vines that are sagging, and they look like they're in trouble. They need help. And the practice is to lift these branches up, prop them up to encourage fruit bearing. Now, it doesn't always work. Sometimes it does. And so when we think of this in terms as a Christian, well, sometimes we're not abiding in the vine like we should, and we get kind of sickly looking spiritually. And we're encouraged by the church, encouraged by others to be lifted up and encouraged to bear fruit, and sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. And when it doesn't, you're removed from the fruit-bearing area. If the branch lifts up and does not bear fruit, it's taken away. It just didn't work. So we see this all the time in a Christian community. And you can just think back where, you know, sometimes in the Christian world, somebody will come up with a fantastic sermon or some great idea, and then it just takes off. There's books written about it, small group studies written about it, things like that, just mass popularity. I don't know if you remember years ago, there was The Prayer of Jabez. That was a great book. I loved it. Little book about that, and it just took off. And that happens often in the Christian world. But sometimes when it happens so quickly and that person's fame grows really quickly. Then all of a sudden, they start relying on themselves and not relying on the word of God. They stop abiding in the vine like they should. And now all of a sudden, their ideas are coming through. And then people that study the Bible are like, wait a minute, what you're talking about, I don't think that's right. And then oftentimes they'll fall into sin, and then their reputation is ruined. They have to step down from either being a pastor, or sometimes you think of worship leaders or people that are putting out just Christian music. They get that fame and fortune, and all of a sudden they're relying on themselves. So then they have to be removed from the fruit-bearing position. Do you see that? And it's sad when that happens. Now, sometimes those people that fall away, you know, they were just lifted up, they come back into the fold, and they can produce fruit again. That's just how it works. Sometimes, however, this removing from fruit bearing can happen through death. I can't think of a particular or a specific incident where that happens in the world today, but I know it happens because it happened in Scripture. So Ananias and Sapphira, in the book of Acts, here's what it says. Chapter 4, it says, there was a multitude of those who believe, and they were of one heart and soul. Ananias and Sapphira were a part of this multitude of those who believed. They were Christians. They were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says what they were doing is they were selling possessions and giving to those who were in need. Well, the problem with Ananias and Sapphira is Ananias sold some land, and when he got that money, he says, well, I'm going to keep some of that for myself, and then this amount I'm going to go ahead and give to the church. And so he went to Peter and he says, here's what I sold the land for, not telling him about the part that he held on to. Of course, Peter, you know, through the Holy Spirit, understood what was going on. And so he had some choice words for Ananias, and he said, you know, you did not lie to men, you lied to the Holy Spirit. And Scripture tells us that he fell at his feet and breathed his last, and men carried him out of the city. He then went to Sapphira. They went to their home, and he asked Sapphira, because she did the same thing. She sold some land, knew that her husband kept some, so she kept some. And he said, how much did you sell the land for? And she said, this much. And he said, the feet of the men at the door are the same men that carried your husband away, and they will carry you away as well. And she fell at his feet and breathed her last, and they carried her out. It seems pretty drastic. In one of the commentaries I was reading, is J. Vernon McGee, he said that it's most likely that the church was so new at this point that this type of corruption, this type of sin, could not be tolerated at such an early stage in the church. Just going to nip it in the bud, right? Right now it's going to be taken care of. And death was how it happened. Again, seems drastic. But does that mean that Ananias and Sapphira lost their salvation? No, it does not, because they were believers. So there are many scriptures that talk about this idea of security of the believer, but probably the best one is in John chapter 10. 28 and 29, it says this. Jesus is saying, and I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. That is great scripture that's encouraging to know that if I am in him and he is in me, nothing can change that. Absolutely nothing. Neither life nor death, principalities, there's Roman verses. This idea that somebody could lose their salvation totally contradicts verse 29. If I, as a created human, created by the Almighty Creator, everything about me he's made, if I then have the ability to make a decision that I lose my salvation, says that I am more powerful than the Father. There is no way that that can be true. Absolutely no way. The work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, the Bible tells us he died once for all, the perfect sacrifice. And his work on the cross is absolutely sufficient to secure your eternal soul. And nothing that we can do can change that fact. There is no way if you have given your life fully to the Lord Jesus Christ and you've repented of your sins, asked for forgiveness, and he is your Lord and Savior, you are going to be with him forever in eternity. Amen? And nothing can change that. Okay, go back to the other one just real quick, Vange. So when I think of this, I think of those people that, you know, their ministry grows really fast and then they fall away. But then you think of those ministries of those men who have just stood the test of time. I think of Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, John MacArthur, David Jeremiah, right? Chuck Swindoll, Greg Lowry, all these people. I mean, their ministries have just been around for so long, and they're doing so well. And when we see them as a branch, that must be a strong, healthy branch. And then, how do they do that? How do they maintain that strength for so long? And I found this quote from a guy named Andrew Murray. He was a South African pastor in the late 1800s. And here's what he said. I love this. However strong the branch becomes, however far away it reaches round the home, out of sight of the vine, all its beauty and all its fruitfulness ever depend upon that one point of contact where it grows out of the vine. You see, these men understand that the only thing that good that comes out of me is because it's coming out of the vine that I'm attached to, and they're going to hold on to that vine. And as long as they're holding on to that vine, they're receiving the nutrients and everything they need from that vine. And that's why their ministry is continuing as strong as it is, because they understand that point of contact. And he says, so be it with us too. We need to hold on to that vine. Okay, that's verse 2. So it's talking about believers who just stop producing fruit and they get removed from the fruit-bearing process. This is different. This is verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, Jesus says, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Well, first of all, we need to look at the words that Jesus used. In verse 2, he says, those that are in me. In this one, he says, anyone that does not abide in me. These are people that are not in him. And if you are not in him, then you are condemned to eternal damnation. You will come under the judgment of Jesus Christ, and if you are not a saved person, that's the end result. And so the fire that they're talking about here, that is hellfire and eternal death. So in him. Now, here's what's interesting. Let me just make sure I got this. No, go ahead, Vance. Okay, these are the people that are never really saved. And I think of the best example of this is Judas. Judas was handpicked by Jesus Christ himself. He was one of the 12. And if we were walking around at that time in history and we would see Judas, we would recognize Judas as, you know what, he's one of the branches of that vine. That's just how you would see him. But Judas was never fully gave his heart over to Jesus Christ. Judas was in it for himself. What can I gain from Jesus' popularity? That's what he was thinking. And so even though he appeared to be a branch, he was never really a part of the vine. Sadly, on this very day today, across this country, we have people sitting in pews in churches. We have pastors preaching from the pulpit who are not a true branch attached to the vine. But they appear to be a branch. You see, that's a dangerous spot. Because if you don't fully commit your life to Jesus Christ, you will come under that judgment of hellfire. I also think of the people that say, you know, didn't we cast out people in your name? So go ahead and that comes from Matthew. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, verse 6 is talking about those people that never really were Christians. They appear to do the Christian things, but they never really were. You see how that is? So we've taken care of these two verses. So it has really, the rest of the verses that we're going to look at, we're going to talk about bearing fruit. And again, remind you that they have really have nothing to do with your salvation. And the fruit that we're to bear isn't even really soul winning. Okay, so what is it? So the fruit that they're talking about is the fruit of the Spirit. So Galatians tells us that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So we'll stay right there. The fruit of that we're to bear on the vine, or from the vine as branches, is the fruits of the Spirit. And what are all those? They're character traits. They're virtues. Notice that the fruit that we're bearing is really, it's a development of who we are in the world. And that all comes from how God wants us to be. So the fruit that we bear is basically the characteristics of God in us. And that's the fruit we're to bear. You think about it. Somebody that's kind, gentle, self-control is a big one. These are the type of people that I want to hang out with. Self-control encompasses so much. How much we eat, what we eat, when do we go to bed, how late do we stay up, how much time do we spend on our phone, how much time do we spend in the Word of God. It has so much to do with the type of person that you are. And if the fruit that we're to bear is really just the fruits of the Spirit, gentleness is very important. Kindness, very important. When you develop these skills that only come from God, because apart from the vine, you can do nothing. These good traits that you have, these character traits that come from the vine, they do not come from you. They don't come from the branch. They can only come from the vine. And so any good that we have in us is because of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ wants us to develop this fruit so that, we can be winsome to other people. And we want the gospel to be winsome in our behavior. And so this fruit bearing is the fruits of the Spirit. And so that's the fruit. Now, verse 2. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may what? Bear more fruit. So see, we have the fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit. So that's what we want to bear. But then we get pruned so that we can bear more fruit. Now, that word prune, it's a Greek word. You pronounce that kathairo, which means to clean, to purify, to cleanse, to prune. If you read the King James version of the Bible, it says he purges, not prunes. He purges. And so this is this idea of being clean. And so it says, in every branch that bears fruit, he purges that it may bear more fruit. Well, this idea of being cleansed or pruned, if there's orchardists in here and farmers in here, and we understand that when you're pruning, it looks like you're damaging the tree. Well, when you go through the orchards in pruning season, you're like, are they going to leave any of the tree? It looks like it hurts. If you think of us as the branches and we're being pruned, it's going to hurt. It's that spiritual discipline that God allows us to go through. Well, how do we get cleansed? How do we get this spiritual discipline? Well, verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The word of God is what prunes us and cleanses us and spiritually disciplines us. Because if we're bearing fruit, that's good. We're developing those character traits, the character traits of God that he wants us to have in our lives. But as we continue with him and we continue to abide in him and we study his word, the word convicts us of things that we need to change. And that helps us produce more fruit. And when I think of more fruit, I just think of more virtues. Wisdom, discernment, honesty, perseverance, determination, conviction to make a stand for what you believe in. This is more fruit from God. The word of God in Hebrews, it says, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is powerful. It disciplines us. I had a confession last week that I with the world that we're living in, the frustration that I have, and I had a tendency to complain. And I do not want to be known as a complainer. And you know what? That's not the fruit that God wants from me. He wants me to be understanding and gentle and kind and encouraging. And so I was convicted of this. That was a little bit of spiritual discernment. And, it's helped. Mr. Mosier is here. He works with me all day long. You can ask him how I'm doing on that, but please wait until next week to ask him about that. Anyway, but it's helped. It's helped my attitude. Okay, this idea of bearing more fruit, becoming more and more like Christ, having more and more virtues and characteristics of Him. Oh, this is more about the Word of God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again incorruptible through the what? Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. Well, the grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. The word of God. As long as we abide in it and it in us, we will become the people that God wants us to be. There's also one more. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? I like this one because I'm going to consider myself a young man. Some of you are looking at me and say, you are a young man. Others are looking at me and say, you got one foot in the grave. All I see is I'm still kind of, I feel young and I want to be, I'm closer to God every year. So that's what I like. So how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word of God. That's how we get cleansed. And if we are pruned and cleansed by the word of God, we will bear more fruit. As we continue, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words, there they are again, word of God, abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you what? Bear much fruit. You see, this is the continuation of fruit bearing. You bear much fruit so that you will be my disciples. So here's what it is. Our job as branches are to hold on to the vine. Receive all the nutrients we can, all the goodness that we can from Jesus Christ. And we bear fruit. It changes our character. It gives us those character traits of God. And as we continue with Him, and we study His word, we get pruned and disciplined, and we bear more fruit. And then as we continue to do that and bear more fruit, then all of a sudden we realize, okay, prayer life becomes very important. And that says, and you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Well, those desires are not selfish desires. As we continue with God and we continue to abide with Him and be disciplined by His word, His desires become our desires. And when we pray, it says out of James, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Well, how do we become righteous? Studying God's word, abiding in Him and remaining in Him. Continue to be disciplined by His word and change the way that God wants you to change. So He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. And those desires, again, are God's desires. And what will happen? It'll be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So do you see that progression of walking with God, continuing with God, remaining in that vine, abiding in Him? Let's finish up. Verse 9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Remain there. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is one of those things, I've mentioned this to you a couple times before. It's a cycle. This idea of obeying God, loving God. And this all comes from abiding in the vine. When we love God, we want to obey him. It's not that we feel like we have to out of duty, because if you love somebody, and if you love somebody like children, if you love your parents, you should want to obey your parents because they have what's best for you. God has what's best for us. When we love God, then we want to obey him. And when we obey him, he reveals himself to us in a new way, which makes us love him even more, which makes us want to obey him even more. And then he'll reveal himself to us in a brand new way, and we love him even more. Amen? That's what this is about. We'll finish up with this. I changed a little bit of a Hudson Taylor quote to fit us a little bit more. If we think about this idea of abiding, producing fruit, producing more fruit, and producing much fruit, it all has to do with abiding in Jesus Christ and remaining him with him forever. Oh, it is a very sweet thing to have one's mind, heart, and soul resting and abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray.